Hello, my name is Juliet Campasi and I'm the Learning Solutions Project Executive at the Institute of Leadership and Management. Welcome to our After COVID-19 series, where we explore whether there will be a new normal. This episode provides a summary of the webinar, The Future of the Workplace. For many of us, workplaces have changed significantly in recent months. Our guest, Dr. Nicola Millard, Head of Customer Insight and Futures at BT, considers how enduring these changes may be. What people may not know is that BT is the third largest investor in innovation in the UK, and of course innovation comes out of a crisis. Nicola, you work as part of BT's innovation team, so what does your research tell us about the future of the workplace as part of our response in this crisis?
I've had the pleasure of running our digital workplace research for, actually it's about 9 years now, but prior to that I'd been involved with, BT's first experiment into home working back in 1992, believe it or not, which I keep saying is a really incredible study. It was a technology trial mostly. It was horribly expensive to do because we didn't have broadband. So it cost a lot of money in 92. Obviously, it got cheaper as we got better connectivity. And by 2000, BT had a fair proportion of its workers working from home. And I was, part of the project that looked at the sort of work style changes that we were doing in BT. Now, I would say we also pulled back a little bit because I think most of us have now found out that working from home is actually quite difficult if you do it permanently. So the whole thing was really around how do we enable people to work from anywhere. But obviously, the future of work is a very big topic. I am helped enormously by the innovation ecosystem that we have in BT. And really, I've been able to investigate a lot of trends that we've seen trying to shape the future of work. And obviously, prior to the pandemic, a lot of those trends seem to root in things like AI. So we assumed that artificial intelligence and automation would completely disrupt and transform the workforce. In actual fact, it was something a little bit more basic than that. It was a nasty global virus pandemic. And I guess as part of an innovation team, we've been quite busy over the past 3 months because more innovation, I think, has happened over the past 3 months than we've seen maybe in the past 3 years. And obviously one of those things is home working seems to have come of age. And that's been underpinned by a lot of the technologies that we have in this digital revolution that we were also talking about prior to the pandemic. And it's actually it's a great time to have, had these two trends, immense amounts of disruption alongside the digital revolution come together, because I suspect without technologies like cloud and video conferencing and social media, this would have been a far, far more difficult pandemic certainly on the social and working level. Obviously, it's a difficult pandemic generally, but that sort of thing has enabled us to think about work in different ways. I think when we look beyond the pandemic, one of the questions that we need to ask is, well, firstly, let's not waste the crisis. As Paul Romer, the Nobel Prize winning economist, once said, a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. So what do we take that's come out that really works in this crisis? What didn't work so well, then how do we learn from that? And then with the climate crisis, obviously the emphasis growing on that one, what can we do that not only changes the way that we work but also benefits the environment? So I think there's a lot of thinking around that we've been looking at, around how do we sustain a lot of this stuff.
That's great. Thanks, Nicola. Well, I'm sure you get asked this question a lot, but as we're moving into the future, do we need offices? And if so, what does the office of the future look like?
My answer has always been, prior to the pandemic, yes. After the pandemic, yes. But the reasons are slightly different now. So prior to the pandemic, I used to talk about the office as somewhere where we would go to socialise about work and meet people and talk to people. So there's a massive socialization and collaboration function. In fact, I would call the office a collaboration platform. The trouble at the moment is offices are going to be slightly different. Whilst there is pandemic somewhere in the world, whilst this virus is floating around, one of the real worries is around how do you manage that within a workplace. And that means actually you end up with this concept of a socially distanced office, which isn't a particularly social office, because you're going to have to be 2 meters away from all of your colleagues. Meeting rooms might be too small to have more than one or maybe two people in them. And actually meetings might well end up being in the digital space because capacity is going to be lower in these offices. We might have to manage rota systems around who it's kind of permission to work in the office rather than permission to work from home, because we can't have huge numbers of people in offices. There's not going to be room. So how do we manage that? And that often also leads to other conversations around, well, should we have a 9-to-5 day or a 5-day week? Does that make sense? So, you know, do we want to stagger start times and have rota systems so that we can manage capacity down? Maybe we have one day on, one day off in terms of the office, or 1 week on, 1 week off. Maybe we don't even recognize Saturdays and Sundays anymore because that rota might need to be 7 days a week. So there's a lot of discussion that's really disrupting some of the thinking that was, frankly, a lot of the way that the modern work place has been shaped is rooted in the industrial age, the factory. Even our productivity measures are still based around factory measures. It's assumed that I manufacture something, and oddly enough, I don't. I'm a knowledge worker, and actually knowledge workers are the primary ones that have been able to work from home, but they're also traditionally the most difficult category of worker to measure, because what do I input and output? Ideas is one of the answers. So how do you measure that? And then, because you can't measure me whilst I'm working from home, maybe you could have kind of assumed if you saw me in an office that I might be working. That's a lazy way of assuming I'm working, by the way. But, you know, if I'm working from home, I can't be seen. So is there a pressure for me to work constantly and be constantly connected, because I might be judged by how long I'm on Instant Messenger? That came out of some of the research I do, and that results in longer working hours. And actually, having studied home working for a long time, one of the problems we've always found with home working is not keeping people working, it's stopping people working. And typically we find that home workers tend to, if we look at productivity measures, and I'm using this kind of, you know, generally, home workers produce around 20% extra productivity, whatever you want to measure that as. Often it's time. We work longer. That, by the way, does not make you more productive. It makes you more tired. And it also actually sometimes it results in burnout. And that can be a very big problem when your workplace is your home and your home is your workplace, and those boundaries really have started to crumble. But it's not just people working from home. Obviously, technologies connect us all the time. And Kevin Kelly once said, the guy from Wired, that the problem of the future is not connection, it's disconnection. And finding the off switch, I think, is a big challenge. And we've been doing a lot of work with some of our university partners, like Cambridge and Lancaster universities, to try and sort of figure out how do we find the off switch. I know that sounds obvious and easy, but it's not. And how do we work more effectively and efficiently and actually better in terms of wellness as well? How do we work well as productively, given that these technologies sometimes force us beyond the traditional Dolly Parton 9-to-5? And as I said, that isn't always a good thing. So, I mean, I think this is a really fascinating area. And to be honest, I can go on about it for absolutely hours. There's a lot that we've published, particularly over the past few months, ranging from really tactical stuff like how to work from home better. Obviously, BT's got a lot of experience in that. So, and I'm not a good home worker. So I actually reached out to some of my veteran home working colleagues and said, how on earth do you do this? And their replies, over 100 of them got back to me. Their replies we ended up publishing because I think I found them useful. Some of them are very funny as well. And I thought, you know, other people, we'd like to share the insights of our people with everybody else, really. So it's kind of from our people to your people to help people work better. We've got a balanced communication diet. We've got something called the collaboration conundrum, which is how do you collaborate better in remote teams. Coming up, we're also looking at publishing a paper around the future of the office and the future of the workplace as well. So that should be out in the next month or so, along with the balanced communication diet. So watch this space on those ones.
That's great, Nicola. I'm really looking forward to reading these reports. Listeners can find further topical content, including Nicola's webinar, on Institute's website at www.institutelm.com. And thank you once again, Nicola, for joining us in this episode.